What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Wrigley Field awaits for the Padres this postseason. Division's done. I've punted. I could be
you
wrong.
Punted? You're done.
I've punted. I will not talk about the division.
Three back with 16 to play.
They're done. Right? I mean, Jim, just hear me out before we go. Just hear me for 1 second.
Dodgers are up 8-0 now.
If they go 16-0, the Dodgers could keep them out by going 13-3. I don't see that happening, but you get my point. Like,
yeah.
They're not going 16. No, they're not going. I mean, if they go 14-2, the Dodgers could keep them out by going 11-5. I don't see it. I'm sorry. It's like, first of all, get your own house in order. Nick Pivetta shoves and you lose again. Nick Pivetta shoves and he goes 7 innings, and that's your solution. I get it. Kyle Hart was fine in the 8th inning, but you pitch both Hart and Matsui. And Nick Pivetta goes 7 innings because your bullpen's completely taxed because no longer is Jason Adam available. So Padres lose 2-1. I mean, to me, like this tonight, I'm willing to be like completely frustrated with this team tonight. Now, they'll put the makeup on this weekend. They'll play the Rockies. Oh, look, they beat the Rockies, man. Look at this offense. Scored 6 runs. But give me a break. They had so many opportunities, Jim, over the last 2 weeks that they have failed to capitalize on, by and large. The Dodgers left this door. It wasn't open. The door was just, there was no door. And they didn't capitalize. And they get what they deserve, honestly. That's how I feel. I just think it's very frustrating to lose a series to the Reds at home. The odds of winning this division are incredibly low. And this is the wrap-up show. Subscribe, make your way in. We appreciate your super chats. Let's react to it all. There's so much to react to. But this to me is kind of like a low point, not because they're going to miss the postseason, but because you've capitalized on nothing with a door literally ajar.
They did it again.
Yeah.
And they did it again. They're one back on Monday night, and then they fall flat on their face. This is the same song and dance for the last forever with this team. They can't get over that hump. I hope that they can pull off a miracle here. It kind of feels like they need to. And you're right. They have no one to blame but themselves. Michael King coming out earlier today. I can't believe we missed this, but saying if they don't win the World Series, it's a disappointing season. You know, that's the expectations for this team, is that if they do not win the World Series, it's basically deemed a failure. You know, like, they've built this team, they've made the trades, they have gone all in once again to go win a World Series. If you don't win it, it's a failure. I don't want to hear, well, you know, it was a nice year. They played well. Oh, congratulations. Let's give out participation trophies. Nah, fuck that. The expectation has been set. And it's been set by a player in that clubhouse, one of the leaders of this team. It's been set by the organization to go out and make the moves they've made. It is World Series or the season feels like a failure. So that's number one. Number two, yeah, I mean, they don't have anybody to blame but themselves. The last 2+ weeks here is probably going to be the reason why they're going to Chicago for the wild card round. Like, that's it. Unless something changes, unless they can stop falling flat on their face, the last 2+ weeks are the reason why they will be going to Chicago for the wild card round to play potentially 3 games on the road. That's it. That's their fault. They blew chances against the Twins. They blew chances against the Orioles. And they blew chance against the Reds. And they blew a chance against the Mariners.
And they blew a chance against the LA fucking Dodgers.
And the Dodgers.
On that Sunday afternoon. Not just the Sunday afternoon at Petco Park. They played like shit against the Dodgers in the regular season. And even with all of that, it was all there for the taking. And it is incredibly frustrating when, like, I can only imagine. And not that AJ Preller is scot-free. No one's scot-free when you have kind of a – when you're leaving some meat on the bone. Like, if you're not reaching your ceiling, then everyone is accountable for that. And we'll see. It's the postseason. Maybe something happens in the I'm not writing them off in the postseason. I'm writing off this division. I'm not willing to write them off in the postseason. I don't think that's fair, and I think there's way too much time. But, like, imagine being AJ Preller, and you freaking get Mason effing Miller – like a generational freaking reliever. That's all he does is add generational relievers, right? Josh Hader, Mason Miller. I mean, he's had ridiculous pieces. You add Ramon Laureano, who's carried your team for a month, and you can't get the productivity from the other pieces around Ramon Laureano. Are you kidding? You acquire Ramon Laureano and Manny Machado turns into freaking Tommy Pham in like his 1 year that he played every day here. He hits 190 for 35 games. I'm just like, it's incredibly frustrating. The Machado thing is the story right now. I mean, what on earth is going on here? Opportunities again with men in scoring position in this game tonight, in a one-run game where they go, was it 0-for-6 or 0-for-8 tonight with men in scoring?
Thank you, Jay. We'll see that. We'll get to the super chat here in a bit. what were they tonight?
I mean,
they're 0-for-8. 0-for-8.
I mean, come on. And just failures, just flat out failures.
I'll say this. So couple things in this game that I, because each game is from here on out, we've talked about this. Each game from here on out is going to be dissected. Now it will be even more dissected, if that's even a term, whatever, in the postseason, because every game, every move, it matters. Right. We'll be talking about a move made in the eighth inning if it doesn't work out forever. Or we could be talking about a move in the eighth inning that works out. We'll be talking about that forever, whatever it is. So, all right. First up, I don't know whose call this was. We were talking about this before the show. But in the fourth inning, okay, of a scoreless game, you are in a pitcher duel, right? So maybe the thought process is just get a couple runs across the board, or hell, let's get a run across the board. We can make a stand. Well, guess what? It didn't stand. So the logic there just ain't out the window. And you got to start winning some games here more than by a run. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just hope and expect to win a majority of your games by scoring one or two runs and thinking that's going to be enough. So fourth inning, Gavin Sheets walks, Laureano singles. You have two on, nobody out. Who comes to the plate? One of your hottest hitters of late, Jackson Merrill. What does he do? Lays down a fucking bunt.
So this is when, this is hard for me, because this is when our show ends at six. I'm driving home. The first four innings happen in an hour. I immediately get in. I'm with my son. I'm with my wife. Can someone, what was the dynamic of the bunt? As in, was it?
I didn't see it either. I just heard about it.
Did he like do it on his own? Was it a clear sacrifice situation? Was he sacrificed? Had he squared prior? What happened here? Why on earth? Now, I get it. It's Andrew Abbott. The guy has shoved against the Padres in his career. Of course, he's been awful his last three starts, but he's completely shoved. So, okay, you get two in scoring position with one out, and you're a base hit away from a two-run lead, or you're a sac fly away from a 1-0 lead. But what the hell happened here?
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a 0-1 count.
Did he square on the first pitch?
He did score on the first pitch. He took
it. So he's bunting.
Yeah. Squared on the first pitch, took a strike. So, okay, pause. You square to bunt on the first pitch. Now the infield knows you're trying to bunt. So now they're coming in. You can't surprise them anymore. All right? The surprise is gone. If he was thinking to himself like, oh, I can drag this up the first baseline, they're not going to expect me to bunt, and I can really catch them off their footing here. Well, you lost that when you squared there. So he squares the bunt, takes it. 0-1 the count. Next pitch, squares to bunt again. All right? Infielders are in. First and third infield in. Two on, nobody out. Squares again, bunts it up the first baseline. The first baseman is prepared for a bunt. So he gets to the ball quickly, throws to third to get the lead runner. Is that not the dumbest fucking play in the entire world? With one of your hotter hitters at the plate in the fourth inning?
I am not going to advocate. I'm not going to be a proponent of that bunt. Like, there's
the
a world where you
with
can,
Jackson Merrill at the plate?
There's a world where you could execute it and have second and third one out. I'm not going to be a proponent of that bunt. Merrill had hit in four straight games. Merrill's been hot. Like, yeah, I'm not advocating for that bunt.
Now, the only way on the flip side, if I'm going to argue for it, is he realized after his first at bat, he wasn't comfortable against Abbott. And in that moment.
No, I heard the Schilt thing. No, he's not referring to the bunt.
No, I'm not even talking about the Schilt thing. Yeah. I'm just talking about like, hey, no way. Tough lefty. I don't know. It's fucking stupid. So anyway, it's fucking dumb. And so that's the first thing. Second thing. All right. Where am I going to go here? So hold on. Let me pull this back up. I mean, 0-for-8 doesn't help at all. But you're up 1-0 in the eighth inning. Okay. 1-0. You're down pretty much everybody in that bullpen, like top guys, except for Adrian Morejon, right?
Right.
Okay. I'm not going to blast him bringing in Kyle Hart because they didn't have any option.
He had no other choice.
But you know where it came back to bite them in the ass?
Where?
In the bottom of the ninth inning, because what did Mike Schilt do in the eighth? He went to defensive.
Oh, with Bryce. You're saying Bryce Johnson?
He brought in Mason McCoy for Ryan O'Hearn.
Yeah.
Who was the last at bat of that game?
Yeah, Bryce Johnson.
100%. And that was the Ryan O'Hearn spot.
Yeah, Ryan O'Hearn spot. 100%. That's the most, I agree with that. That's the most. I have no problem with, listen, if Kyle Hart's coming on in the eighth inning, there's a reason.
Right.
And Mike Schilt's not the reason. And by the way, he's not the reason why it went haywire there. It's strikeout, bunt, single. That was a beautiful freaking bunt. And Hart nearly made a play on it. Okay, and then there's a freaking ground out. So here comes Morejon. And this is where, I mean, watch these two hits. Watch these two hits. Ellie, I mean, Ellie threw the right side.
It's a good piece of hitting,
but it's a freaking ground ball. Like, okay, I credit it. It's a good piece of hitting. I agree with Mike Schilt. You turn Ellie around. He doesn't hit as well. And he freaking hits a ball through the right side. Okay. By the way, Tatis's throw is terrific. And it's a bang, bang play. And he's safe. Okay.
Right.
And then the freaking single to left is, like you said, a duck snort. I mean, what can you possibly do? I cannot put that on Morahone. You know who I put it on? I put it on their offense.
Yeah.
I put it on Merrill Bunting. I put it on them settling. I've said it since August 1st. If the idea is to sit on a one-run lead, your season is going to end miserably.
Yep.
And it is playing out the way I envisioned it. And it's only September.
Yeah.
And I hope this isn't what we see in October, but I can envision a world where it's 1-0 at Wrigley in the fourth inning and all hell breaks loose because you're not going to beat the Cubs 1-0 at Wrigley Field. And you're not going to use your bullpen for six innings at Wrigley Field. You get the point. So listen, this isn't obviously a postseason game where Kyle Hart's not starting an eighth inning in a postseason game, but you got to get to the postseason. And this thing just completely unravels. And for you to lead off the ninth inning with Gavin Sheets going the other way like that, okay, and then your pincher, I mean, you got the wheels in motion and you can't get him in. If that is not a freaking summary of the Padres' struggles, just their everything, then I don't know what is. It was so obvious that they were going to struggle to get that tying run in that spot, and that's exactly what played out. Unproductive out from Laureano. I know he's been great. You have to get the runner over. That, you want a bunt? Hey, everyone wants a bunt? Okay,
but
so you have the unproductive out, and then you have the fly ball, and then you have Bryce Johnson for Ryan O'Hearn. I'm not advocating for the bunt there, but you have to be able to get a runner in, representing the tie at second with nobody out in the ninth inning. End of story.
Yeah, in that moment, I even said out loud to Aaron, I'm like, do not bunt here.
It's Laureano, but...
It's right. It's knowing the situation, knowing the matchup, knowing who you have at the plate, and with how good Laureano has been for this team, hindsight's always 20/20. If you bunted him over, Merrill hits the deep fly ball, it's tie game, we're going to extras, and maybe they win, right? But look, I'm a proponent of not giving up outs with your best hitters, right? If you had Elias Diaz the plate in that moment, oh my God, you're bunting him like no tomorrow. But with one of your better hitters of late, you expect them to either move the runner over or get a hit, drive them in, home run, whatever, you know, whatever it takes, right? So I can't be here criticizing Schilt for always bunting and always playing for a run and then criticize him for not bunting. You know what I mean? Like I look at that situation as you have one of your hotter hitters, one of your better hitters at the plate, swing away. Runners in scoring position already, you get a base hit, the likelihood of him scoring is pretty high. So it's on Laureano there to get the job done. And he didn't get the job done. And then you get to Merrill, and he hits that deep fly, gets off the end of the bat.
Yeah.
Right?
And then he drove that thing.
Yeah, and then because you had the O'Hearn spot there and you took him out for defense because you're trying to protect a one run lead because you can't score. Now you got to pinch it for Mason McCoy because he sucks. And Bryce Johnson comes in, he gets blown away.
He did get blown away. And honestly, Bryce Johnson, like, this has nothing to do with Bryce Johnson. He's filled his role fine for this team. He's been effective for this team, but you're right. I mean, the fact that Ryan O'Hearn isn't available to bat in his spot there and you lose by a run with the potential tying run 90 feet away is a bad look, is a very bad look all the way around.
Yeah, the move tonight just backfired on Schilt. They just did. And the offense didn't come through. And you're right. The offense is, to me, the main culprit of tonight's loss.
Okay, here's the deal. Please subscribe to the channel. We have year-round content for Padres fans. Jay, we appreciate the super that came in. We're going to keep this all to baseball tonight. We appreciate your support of the channel. People are here to get away from it. Like, the reason I love sports is I can't with the news. So appreciate the support of the channel. We're going to keep it all to baseball here today. Thank you for supporting the channel. The people that are here right now want to talk Padres baseball. We appreciate your support of the channel. Luke, thank you for the super. And he says, regardless of how you feel about him, missing Xander really messes up the lineup. I mean, it does. And you look at this lineup today and they didn't have Iglesias. And that's the only reason why he wasn't in the lineup, by the way, because they wouldn't have started this lineup if Iglesias. I know he came in as a pinch runner later, but I think if Iglesias was healthy, he would have been in this game. Jesus.
It's like, where are you? Are you like at a freaking...
Let me close the freaking...
Got planes and
it's freaking... There's trains? A lot that goes on it.
What's happening over there? Are you on like a naval base or something? Jeez.
All right. But hear me out. Hear me out. I agree with the sentiment there. And I think this lineup is atypical. Because I don't think Mike Schilt wanted to start this lineup. I really don't. I think it has to do more with Iglesias getting hit on the hand yesterday, his left hand. But Xander being out has no factor in them losing this game. None.
None.
You know, like, and their lineup being as lefty heavy as it was tonight against Andrew Abbott, five lefties in their lineup, has nothing to do with them losing. It's bad situational baseball. Has everything to do with them losing.
Yeah.
Plain and simple, it's their offense failing to capitalize when they should at least come through to some extent. Simple as that shit. I mean, you're just playing with fire all night long. Laureano makes the play and left to keep it 1-0. Like, it's so hard to sit on 1-0 leads so in the major hard. Leagues. And the Padres did it five times this year. They've won 1-0 five times this year. But I'm sorry, like, Reds are trying to get into the postseason too. They're trying to win now.
They're two back of the Mets.
So, I mean, I put it all on. It's not about even the lineup construction tonight. It's about situational hitting. It's about having a clue. And they just failed.
And I can't sit here because the last couple of weeks, I've been a proponent in kind of carrying the flag of like, put your best foot forward, put your best lineup out there. Like, sacrifice a little defense for your best offense, right? But if you're going to put the best lineup out there, the best hitters on the team and sacrifice a little defense, well, they got to score some runs for you to have that be true. You know, like the last couple nights, or at least today, you know, like this lineup today, you look at it and you're like, okay, but they are facing a tough lefty. And it goes back to the point. They don't have a lineup against a left-handed pitcher. And if and when they face the Cubs, the first pitcher you're going to face is Matthew Boyd. He's a tough lefty.
Yeah, and it's a three-game series on the road where you haven't been the same team as you've been at home.
Exactly. What did Kyle Glazer have yesterday? It's like they're a 100 on pace for a 100 win season if they played all games at home, and they're on pace for like a 78 or 79 win team on the road.
It was like 76.
Yeah, probably worse than that. Yeah.
By the way, I think there's a couple of supers that came in before the start of the show. For whatever reason, this has been happening on YouTube that have not just, we don't have them. So I don't see them.
I think what happens is when Jeff West. So like when we get into our like streaming software, that's when we can start seeing stuff. So if it happens like a half hour ago, we don't see it in our streaming software.
All right. So yeah, I mean, yeah, apologies. If you did contribute with the super, put it in the chat. Me or Jim will find it and we'll pull it up. And all the other people, all these supers that have come in since, let's say, 9:35 p.m., we're going to get to all of them. We're just slightly behind because there's a lot to react to. But appreciate you guys and your support of the channel. Padres fall to the Reds 2-1 down at Petco. This one from Abraham. Thank you, man. It says, get that captain out of this team, a.k.a. Machado. I mean, that's not the answer, obviously, but he needs a day. They should give him a day against the Rockies, obviously. I think you said Sunday because they're off Monday. But yeah. He has to have a day. I don't know what it's going to take. He'll probably fight it, but, I mean, they're well past time on Machado, who, like, has just completely evaporated in front of our eyes.
My guess is Monday. Kevin alluded to it today on the show that he wouldn't be surprised if they scheduled an off day for him against the Rockies upcoming here. And the most logical spot for him to get that off day to maximize it is Sunday.
Sunday makes sense, although in watching him right now, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to doing it tomorrow.
They're facing a guy with like a 13 ERA tomorrow. So, yeah, who they've, what's this guy's name? McCade Brown. 3 games pitched in the big leagues in his career. 9 1/3 innings pitched. 12.54 ERA.
Guess his pitching line tomorrow. I say 6 innings, 1 hit.
By the way, seriously. Culture House, I think your name is. Bro, what's your problem?
What's he saying?
He's having like a mental breakdown in the chat. Look, just because you're upset the Padres are losing, calm down, dude.
Don't get rid of him yet. I kind of am enjoying it.
No, I want him to keep having this mental breakdown to like get it out of your system. Like, just get it out.
If we're such clowns, why are you here?
Like, just get out of your system. It's okay. We're here. If you want to use us as a punching bag because you can't handle watching your favorite team lose a baseball game, go for it.
Right. And eventually we'll just block you and that'll be the end of it. But not yet, because it's kind of fun to watch you lose your mind for no reason. Jeff, thank you. He contributed with the super earlier and said that tonight was the 70th game of the year attended, and I just have no more faith to give with this team. Red Series was a 101 of how to get bounced in the first round. That is a great super chat. That is so true. First of all, they played with fire in game one of the series, fell behind 3-0. Like, go back to game one. Remember how that played out. They easily could have lost that game. Now, Barry Bloom brought up the interesting point post-game that the Padres were in games 2 and 3 and they could have won those games. Hey, they could have won if they scored a couple of more runs in games 2 and 3. But, if you're losing a 3-game series at home to the Reds that you're needing to win to stay alive in your division race, then this is only uphill from here. Like, this is not your toughest test to come. It really isn't. And they failed, unfortunately, in this 3-game series.
And it kind of felt like Schilt was kind of trying to say that. Like, hey, we're going to be facing tough pitching in the postseason, and we have to make adjustments. He even said, we have to make adjustments. Now, he can never just cross that line and be like, this was unacceptable, this series. Like, we need to win as many baseball games as possible. We're trying to win a division. We need to make adjustments, and I didn't see anybody making adjustments tonight, and we have to be better. Like, he can't do that.
He'll tiptoe.
Like,
I'm going to get to the offense, man.
I know. He like tiptoes there, and then he starts talking, and you'll see it. You'll see the click. Like, he'll start saying something negative, and he's like, no, I have to go back to being positive. Like, I can't do that. You're like,
but do you think when he goes home, he's in his garage, like Padres blogger, and he just screams in his car before he walks in? Fuck. And Blogger's a huge supporter.
I know, but
I mean, do you think Schilty does that?
That would be hilarious.
Because you can't keep that in. It's not how he truly feels. I mean, he must be so frustrated at times.
Well, as he said, he needs to be better too.
Yeah, but he said that when they lost a game like 8-0, it made no sense.
Right, because he tries to blame for their inability to score runs and win games and be consistent.
Yeah.
Oh, Mookie just hit a grand slam.
It was like 20 minutes ago. Yeah.
Oh, whoops.
Vector 53, thank you. Says feels awful watching LA homering right now. We can't hit. I mean, they're playing the Rockies. So take some of it with a grain of salt. It's not like the Dodgers have just run away with everything. I mean, come on. We've been watching. They have not run away with everything. They were gifted a 3-game home series against the Rockies. The Padres are about to be gifted a 4-game home series against the Rockies. That's the only saving grace. If there's any ounce of hope that the Padres can somehow pull off a miracle and get back into this division, it's because they get the Rockies here and they have the White Sox as well. But I'm going to pull up the playoff odds just for shits and giggles because it's torture. And the Dodgers now have a 90.7% chance of winning the division. Now, that's not 99, but a 90.7% chance of winning the division. So, to me, it's on ice. I'm not going to go down that path.
What it sets up is like, look, Dodgers, they did what they needed to do against the Rockies at home, and they swept them. Now the Padres need to do what the Dodgers did to the Rockies at home at Petco Park. You know, Dodgers, all right, we did our job. We beat the Rockies. We swept them. Now, a 4-game sweep, that's always difficult to ask. And apparently, according to Culture House in our chat, we're clowns because we say we need the Padres to sweep the Rockies. It's our fault. We're like, he's like that. Did you see today that Chicago fan call into the Score and blame the two co-hosts for like saying that Caleb Williams was going to be good and it's their fault for giving that fan hope? You didn't see that?
No, I don't think so. No, I didn't.
I feel like Culture House, who is saying that we're clowns, even though you're watching us, I feel like he feels the same way, that we're giving him hope, and if it doesn't happen, then it's our fault.
I can't even deal. I mean, some people don't even like. I can't even deal because this, like, what are you doing? I don't care.
He's a moron. Whatever.
I really don't.
People are just.
I don't even care. But at some point, the next time I see one of his chats that's ridiculous, I'll probably just block him. But not yet. Dylan, thank you for the super. He says, "Might prefer Sleepy Bob over Stubborn Chill." Whoa. I mean, what are we doing, guys?
Whoa.
What are we doing?
It's like, dude, whoa. Did you think that switch was going to happen this quickly?
No, that's what I was going to say. Like, what are we doing? I mean, are we already going to say that Schilt sucked when the next manager comes in? You know what I mean? Like, you can't, the backup quarterback isn't always better than the starter.
And that's why we weren't sitting here bashing Bob Melvin like everybody was bashing Bob Melvin. You know, like, did Bob Melvin have his flaws? Like, absolutely. But the fact that when Bob Melvin left and Mike Schilt came in, everybody thought that Bob Melvin was a shitty manager.
Right.
And now it's like the turn on Schilt is happening. Like, I've never liked Schilt to begin with, but it was more or less like him in like the media sense. As a manager, I think he's a pretty good manager. Now, there's a lot of times where I'm like, what are you doing? Especially lately. Lately has really made me like, what is happening? But he's still a good manager. And he's going to get this team to the postseason for back-to-back years, something that no manager has done here since Bochy.
Nope.
Right? But it's always funny how that always happens. It's like they win, everybody's awesome, they're great. Everyone's, you know, they start losing or expectations start to dip or whatever the case, like, this guy fucking sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how we put the onus a lot on managers and coaches. I saw stuff on Victor Rodriguez tonight. I'm like, just stop. Like, guys, listen, I'll put some of this on Schilt, the O'Hearn thing. You want to do that. They're 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. We gave you numerous examples in this game where they failed to capitalize, whether it's, I mean, listen, maybe he's calling for the bunt there. Whatever. I mean, I'm sorry. When you're 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position, when you score one run, how good of a manager do you have to be to protect a one-run lead? You know what I mean? You've scored one run. There's only one path to winning a game, scoring one run. So that's not the easiest thing to navigate. All right, we're going to get back to all the super chats. Guys, if you are here, subscribe. All right? That's all we ask. If you are here, subscribe. Let's get to 10,000 subscribers with your help. We're over 9,600. Even clown question, bro. Subscribe to the channel. We have a year on content. I don't even care. Just subscribe. Smash the like button. Follow us on X. Please support our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. If you have an insurance need, Mark's going to take care of you. Auto, home, renter's life, earthquake, whatever it is. I've got 3 insurance policies with Mark. He's taking care of me and my family. He'll do the same for you and your family as well. Trust me and Jim. He's a great insurance agent, great service and communication. I had to file a claim. He took care of everything, saved us so much time and money. He'll do the same for you and your family. He's a diehard Padres fan and a lifelong San Diegan. And if you call him, he will talk to you about the Padres, and then he will talk to you about saving money on your insurance. Trust us on that. Other people have vouched for us on that. And click the link in the description down below if you want to get free quotes online. But if you support the channel, before you renew your current insurance policy, get in contact with Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance.
Yeah, all his information is on the ticker below, mnimitz@farmersagent.com. When you reach out to him, let him know that John and Jim from the Wrap-Up Show sent you.
Listen, this can be a spicy chat. There's a lot of Dodger fans here, which, by the way, I'm okay with. I'm okay with that. I have no problem. Try to keep it civil if possible. I had forgotten the Dodgers did win the World Series tonight. So this does quantify. Remember what it says. If you sweep the Rockies at home, you do win the World Series. Right. So this is the second straight World Series title for the Dodgers. So I understand the celebration because they have won the World Series in 2025 tonight. So I understand why they're with us here tonight. Congratulations.
But if the Padres sweep the Rockies, no.
Okay. Doesn't count. Dodgers have won the World Series. That's why everyone's here tonight.
Oh, okay, got it.
Sneaky Panda, thank you. He says, I'm a Dodger fan. Yeah, we got our own postseason show, but the Dodgers are up 8-0 against the Rockies right now, and I'm bored. These guys talk well, too. Thank you. I mean, we have a ton of people that root for the Dodgers to watch this channel. So appreciate you. Thank you, Sneaky Panda.
They're all coming in to try to dunk on Padres fans because
they think they won the division.
Right, and they very well may have won the division.
I agree.
Or win the division. But like,
they didn't win the World Series.
Right. It's like you trust your bullpen in October there. Now, vice versa could be made for the Padres. I'm just saying, you know, like, I don't think the Dodgers are this bulletproof team.
They're not. They're clearly not. And I think most of the Dodger fans are probably here, if they're being honest with themselves, feel the same way. Spicy Mayo, thank you, says, Dodger fan, what's up with Manny? Love the show. I mean, Manny's completely sideways.
He's lost.
He's tired. Terrible.
He's hurt. He's tired.
Taking out Gatorade coolers.
He's pressing. He has no answers right now.
He's been terrible.
It's a bad time to be bad. You know, I'd much rather have had this happen at the start of the year and have the thing flipped like last year, right? He was awful for 2.5 months, and then he was fantastic for 2.5 months. Or maybe it was longer. I don't remember. Maybe 3. You get my point.
Mm-hmm.
He was really bad in the first half, and he was really great in the second half.
He was.
Look where it got him. Now, he disappeared in the postseason once again, but, you know, still, it's... I said this today on John and Jim, and I still do believe it. Of the guys that are struggling, now, it's hard to say that about, you know, Tatis. He had the home run tonight. He's got 3 home runs in September. That's like, for him, it's like, holy shit.
Is it four in 13 games? That's my point right now that I was going to say. Like, if there's a saving grace, if Tatis goes nuclear Tatis in 3 weeks.
He's kind of getting there a little bit.
I'm not saying he's nuclear yet. He's not. But he also had a hard hit single in this game. Like, I'm just saying, if in October he comes out in game one and goes 3 for 5 with a home run, then you know what I mean?
Right. And he's, you know, that's the thing is, like, Tatis hitting nukes, that's what you need. But of the players that are struggling or were struggling, you know, Tatis, Merrill, Arise, Manny, of those four, who do you have the most confidence in to turn things around? You probably would come to the answer of it's Manny Machado.
But how much longer? I agree. I said it and I agree. But when does that end? As in, if he's 0 for 4.
I don't know.
For another, are we going to say that September 22nd if he's hitting 190 in September?
I think the good thing is the postseason doesn't start tomorrow.
It doesn't.
I think the good thing is that he's got 2.5 weeks to figure it out.
You're right.
I think the bad thing is he only has 2.5 weeks to figure it out.
With him, historically, it can flip like that.
It can be quick. Like, 2 weeks, that's enough time to flip the switch. 3 days might not be enough. Mm-hmm. But 2.5 weeks, yeah, you can flip the switch and get hot in 2.5 weeks. I believe
that. What do you make of this? I mean, there's time. I agree with it, but I am worried, to be honest. JD's third thank you says, it's a Schilt show with Mr. Magoo. Never understood the second half nonsense. He's only been managing for 4 seasons. Very short sample size, clueless. I think that's a little bit of an overreaction because...
A little harsh.
Yeah, because his record actually in the second half is very good. And even this year, Jim, it's not like the wheels have fallen off in the second half. They just are nowhere near the team that they were last year in the second half. Like, if we looked from All-Star break on, the Padres are over 500. Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're under 500. So, yeah, I mean, again, I'm not putting this all on Schilt. I'm happy to put some of it on Schilt. I'm happy to critique and pile on occasionally. But I'm not really putting a lot of this on Schilt. I'm putting some of it on Schilt.
Yeah, it's not all on Schilt because that means it takes away blame from the players. If you're putting all of this on Schilt, Schilt gets part of the blame, but you know, the players are the ones that need to go out there and produce and perform. And by and large, they're not doing that.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I've mentioned this before. I want you to look at their entire lineup. Take Ramon Laureano out of the conversation because he played majority of the season with the Orioles. Who on the Padres is having a career year, or at least putting up their, you know, back of their baseball card numbers in the lineup? Yeah, there's Freddie one. Fermin. One, Gavin Sheets.
Yeah, Sheets, of course. Yeah, he's been great.
He's the only player that is outperforming his expectations going into the season.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's it. You know, Manny falling off a cliff. Arise, not a good season. Tatis, not a good season for his standards. Merrill, massive down year, sophomore slump. Those are the guys you counted on, or at least we talked about those four a lot in the offseason. You know how many times we talked about the top four in the lineup, John? Like every day, like, hey, the top four in the lineup, that's a good starting four. When you have Tatis, Arise, Merrill, Manny, like, that's good. And all four of those guys have underperformed this year offensively.
Yeah, it's not a good recipe.
No. Because then you're asking for a lot from the others. A lot. And thankfully, you've gotten that from Gavin Sheets, Ramon Laureano when he's been here, right?
Yep.
But it's just not going to cut it, man. It's not going to cut it.
No, it's not. I agree with you. Abraham, thank you for the super chat. Guys, if you're here, please subscribe. We'd love to get to 9,700 subscribers with your help, so please subscribe, and thank you for the super chats. We'll get to all of them tonight. Padres follow the Reds. Dodgers beat the Rockies. The deficit is 3, but actually 4 games right now because of the tiebreaker in the NL West. Abraham says, we need Joe Dreams to rap the Machado anthem.
No, we don't.
No, you don't actually know.
we
don't need that. We do
we
not
don't need,
need
that,
that
at all. No.
Jay, appreciate you, man, again, for your support of the channel. Really do. He says his birthday is tomorrow. He's turning 38. Loyal to the soil, San Diego. Happy birthday, Jay.
Happy birthday, man.
Hopefully they win for you with the Rockies in town.
Look, if they don't beat a guy with a 13 ERA on the mound tomorrow night.
Are you going to be surprised if it's 2-2 in the sixth?
Honestly, not. I honestly won't, but I swear, dude, if you can't beat the fucking Rockies tomorrow night, and if you can't take a minimum 3 of 4, oh god.
Oh, I mean, come on. You can't split at home against the Rockies. What will we be saying then?
If they split at home against the Rockies come Monday, division, like, I'm not gonna say it's done yet. Feels done, but come Monday. Start preparing for Chicago is what I will be saying. Like, get ready for Chicago, boys.
Abraham, thank you. He says Crawford by knockout. Okay.
4K.
There's some fight.
I don't follow boxing.
But I think there is a fight. Who's Crawford?
I have no idea.
It's ain't a fight channel.
Yeah. Sorry.
But I'm sure there is one out there. LLM213 says all deadline trades and the offense is still shit. I mean, they showed some signs at times, but I can't trust this offense, dude. I can't. I wish I could.
Nope.
I can't trust this offense.
Can't trust the offense at all. That they're the weakness of this team. Said this last night. If the Padres do get bounced in the postseason, whenever that is, my guess is it's going to be because of the offense. Like
Terrence Crawford versus Canelo, by the way.
Oh, okay.
In Vegas.
So what? So who won? Was that tonight?
It hasn't happened.
Okay.
Who do you like?
I like Canelo.
Thought you'd say that. Speaking of Vegas, okay, we'll get back to this in 1 second. Speaking of Vegas, Lucky Box is now at Circa in Las Vegas. Now, Circa is, when we're in Vegas, it's kind of like the home away from home for John and Jim. In fact, we stayed at Circa when I picked up this Toddy Lucky Box Auto
Love
10.
Love Circa.
And now that it's in Circa, if you're a sports fan, you're going to run into this Lucky Box vending machine the next time you're in Vegas because you're probably going to be at Circa, and they have them all over Vegas. Use our promo code PADRES. All lowercase, you're getting $5 off. You can pick up a sports card. Again, it's a mystery card. It comes in one of these sweet boxes. Or you can pick up a Pokemon card. I saw someone today won a $10,000 Pokemon card, Jim, from a Lucky Box. It wasn't you because you didn't pick up a $10,000 card
Correct.
In your Lucky Box. They also have autographed jerseys as well. So you choose. You want a Pokemon card, you choose Pokemon. You want a sports card, you choose sports. You want an autographed jersey, you choose autographed jersey. And then use our promo code PADRES, all lowercase, get $5 off. Next time you're in Vegas, you have to try one of these machines. You have to use our promo code PADRES, all lowercase. Trust me, it was such a cool experience. They're coming to Southern California. They're in all kinds of major metropolitan cities. They're in all kinds of airports, but everyone goes to Vegas. And your next time in Vegas, get to a Lucky Box vending machine. Use our promo code PADRES, all lowercase.
Yeah, if you go to Lucky Box also, you can scan a QR code at one of their machines. You can sign up to be a Golden Ticket Club exclusive loyalty program member. You get insider perks, early location drops, exclusive giveaways, and a chance to win autographed signed memorabilia. It's free, no cost necessary. Just sign up using your email and your phone number. Just go to luckyboxvending.com today.
I want to have the philosophical question here with Scott. Thank you for the membership of the Super Chat, Scott. He says, one run down, a man on second with nobody out, you bunt, period.
But what if Manny Machado was at the plate or Fernando Tatis Jr.?
With Manny, I would definitely bunt. I'm kidding. You can't bunt. But no, I disagree with this. I think there's actually some people that probably do agree with this. Are you playing to tie the game there? Are you playing for the tie to extend the game? Now you got to remember, you got no pitching. Mm-hmm. Everyone's down. Mm-hmm. You got no pitching. So are you playing to win the game there? Or are you playing to extend the game there? I get it. You have to extend the game to win the game. And they ended up losing the game. But no, I'm not gonna go all in on Laureano's swing away with the runner at second. Because what if he singles through the right side? And now there's nobody out, you're tied up, and now you're in position to win the game. So, no, I don't fault them swinging away with Laureano. I fault Laureano for not coming through, not moving the runner. But, no, I have no issue with him swinging away.
None. And this is all based on situation and who's at the plate.
Exactly.
I know you think that the situation has to be bunt there no matter what, but I'm telling you, if Manny's at the plate, Laureano's at the plate. Tatis is at the plate. Merrill's at the plate. You're telling me you want to waste that potential at bat to lay down a bunt for the next guy? Mm-hmm. No. The guy at the plate you want, that's the guy you want swinging away. You don't want that guy to be bunting, to give themselves up, to give the other team an out. That doesn't make sense at all. I'm sorry. If Elias Diaz or, you know, Luis Arraez, even Luis Arraez, you can make an argument not to bunt there, but they would have bunted him if it was Luis Arraez to give a chance for Manny. You know, that's when you bunt, but not when you have your five hole hitter at the plate. That's just ridiculous.
And I respect Scott's point. I get it.
In a tie game, in the bottom of the ninth inning, game, you no out it. Runner at second. Sure. I'm not going to argue you.
Yeah.
But when you're down a run, nah, you don't. The last thing you want to do is give up outs with a player that you want at the plate to swing away.
Yeah, my issue with giving up an out there too, down a run, to your point. Let's say you get the runner to third. Just hear me out. You get the runner to third with one out. You still have to be good situationally. You still could have a strikeout in that spot. You still could have a pop out or a ground out and not score a run. Like, so you're playing for like good situational hitting. You come through maybe what? I don't even. 55% of the time with a runner at third, one out. So it's not a guarantee, is my point. It's not a guarantee you're going to score in that spot. Troy, appreciate your support of the channel with maybe a super sticker or just supporting the channel with a super chat. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for being here. Sunriser, same thing, man. Thank you for your membership. Thank you for the generous super chat. He says, why am I loving there are seven games remaining between the Giants and the Dodgers? That is going to help us out for division win. Well, here's the thing I would say about that. What's the difference between the Giants and the Padres right now, Jim?
I think...
Don't tell me it's four.
It's five.
Okay, it's five. The reason I say... Like, you have to be careful here. Because I'm all for rooting for the Giants because the Dodgers are in front of the Padres. But if the Giants go 6-1, you can't have some 3-4 stretch in there. Because all of a sudden, it's getting way too razor thin, and nobody wants to deal with the Giants being within a game or two with four to play. Because then you're opening up a whole nother can of worms. So I say get your house in order and win, and let the other stuff fall. Let the chips fall. Because if you start saying, I hope the Giants go 7-0, oh, you do? Because what if you go 3-4? Mm-hmm. Because now all of a sudden, all hell can break loose if something like that happens. That's just my general point. I wanted the Giants to beat the Dodgers badly until I watched the Padres give this thing away. If that makes sense. I just feel like the Padres didn't hold up their part of the bargain. Now I'm not going to be like, hey, Giants, go bail out the Padres. I just don't think it's as simple as that.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe it's wrong of me. I just believe that this team is going to take care of business against the fucking Rockies at home. That's all. Like, I just... And maybe that's my bad. I'm not going to say like for the rest of the season they're going to do well, but like just against the Rockies at home, I just feel like they're going to beat the Rockies, man. I mean, come on. It's the Rockies. The worst team. I mean, Sean, their record on the road this year
can't be good. What are they? 50-20? Okay.
They're 17-9 and 60. They're 17-53 on the road. You kidding me now?
What's the winning percentage?
Bad.
You're right, like 20%.
They're 14-75 against teams with winning records.
14-75?
Come on.
You can't even. You can't even with a team like that. You can't. You can't put on Joe.
No.
You can't.
No,
I'm sorry. No. Like, that's on the Padres.
No,
sorry. JD, I'm sorry. There's no jinxes when it comes to Rockies Padres at home when you have a lot to play for. Like, if you squander this, you squander this. It's completely on the Padres.
Yeah, it's their fault, not mine.
Yeah. No, it's always our fault. Like, the
true,
guy earlier.
Apparently, yeah.
The guy earlier that
big tough guy.
Pay his internet bill.
Behind a fake name and a picture of a car.
Yeah, Johnny, tough guy.
Yeah, he calls us clowns. All right.
JD's third. Thank you. He says, here's a group hug for the chat. Winners find solution. Find solutions. A group hug like the Toddy and Schulte embrace. Just everyone keep their shirts on. Everyone keep their shirts on. Thank you, JD.
We're huggers here.
Martin, appreciate you. He says, why are we assuming this team makes the playoffs? They look lifeless as Manny quit. I mean, the only thing I can go on is math, because math has value. And the math supports the Padres making the playoffs at a 97.8% clip. which again, do I get on a plane that lands 97.8% of the time? I don't. At least 2.2% of the planes would be crashing, which is a lot. But I'll trust the Padres. I'd rather have a 97.8% chance than a 2.2% chance. So that's why.
Hold on a second here. Math would support it. And also just I refuse to believe this team's going to blow it. I just refuse. And maybe that's wishful thinking.
Like you said, even if they just beat the Rockies two of the next four, I mean, I'll throw things over that. But that's two wins closer to the postseason.
Right, 81 and 69.
Is that what they'd be with a 2-2?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're just inching closer, but they do need 3+ wins, obviously, against the Rockies. Panda says, as a Dodgers fan, I'm okay. We're happy to hear that.
Congratulations.
Panda. Congrats.
Thank you for watching our channel.
Jason, appreciate you. He says, dear Mike, you can't steal first base Ryan O'Hearn. Okay.
All right.
Appreciate it. Troy follows up by saying Schilt taking pitchers out with two outs in an inning when they let first batter on base is annoying.
You aren't the only one who thinks that.
But I can't fault him for taking out Kyle Hart and going to Adrian Morihone trying to protect a 1-0 lead.
Yeah, Adrian Morihone's got to be better. I mean, he walked three guys tonight. It's awful.
Right.
And... Right. You know, is there some cause for concern that Adrian Morihone, if he got put in a situation in a late game in the postseason, that is he ready for that moment? We'll find out. But tonight he just didn't have it. And it was a bad time to be bad.
Back-to-back nights, the super pen with its super relievers doesn't do it.
Not really super. And actually, that's a good point because we haven't even talked about this yet because I texted you. Tonight felt like the first night where the loss of Jason Adam really affected this team.
Massive.
Because if Jason Adam was healthy, you basically could like maneuver things where even if guys are down, you still have a badass bullpen. And so tonight was a night where because Miller and Estrada and Suarez were down, and you get 7 shutout innings from Peralta. Well, you got Adam and Morihone there for you. Instead, you gotta like get the bridge to Morihone. And I'm not saying Hart pitched poorly, but at the same time, like one of the runs that was scored there in that inning was charged to Hart. And this felt like the first time since the Adam injury where it really came back to bite them in the ass and affected this team. And I said it. The Adam injury is going to affect this team. I don't know when, I don't know how, but it will affect this team. And tonight, I think it affected the team.
And yeah, I think your point's spot on. Like Scott says, could have brought Miller in, but I don't think they could have.
I don't think he was available.
Like, and you can't get cute with guys like Adrian Morihone and Mason Miller and Robert Swift. These guys you have to have in October. Don't get me wrong. We're all upset about them not winning this game, but not to the point where you want to risk anything with Mason Miller. Like you have to have a plan with Mason Miller. He's been so damn effective. He has to be available and fully ready to go September 30th when the postseason starts. And it, like, he just has to be, and I get it. This game matters. They all matter, but you got to be very careful, especially with Jason Adam now gone, you know, because of the injury.
Yep.
Jason, appreciate you, man. He says, Jim's right. Schilt having Jackson bunt denies him from being clutch when he's been locked in. Stay safe, bros. Appreciate you, Jason.
Thank you, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like it. I for Mr. Hey, I'm aggressive, and we're going to put pressure on. We don't feel pressure. We apply it. That's Jackson, but I'm talking about Schilt. Mr. We're aggressive. We compete. Right. Like, you compete by moving runners, man. Now, they move runners at a nice clip. They love bunting. And they've been relatively successful, but give me a break. Like that's like anti-aggressive when you bunt at the clip that the Padres bunt at. It's gotten to the point of where it's like, it's complete overkill. The amount they bunt.
They don't play aggressive. They play scared. Playing for just a run when you're down a run or in a tie game or scoreless, like that's playing scared, man. Go out there, swing away. And the fact that you had Jackson Merrill laying down a bunt there with two on and nobody out in the fourth inning of a scoreless game. Give me a break, dude. I know it's a tough lefty, and I get it. But guess who was coming up after Jackson Merrill? Another lefty in Ryan O'Hearn. So, like, what the fuck, dude?
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
And guess who's coming after Guess who was coming up after O'Hearn? Another lefty.
They had three straight in this lineup.
So out of those three dudes, who's swinging the bat the best right now? It's Jackson Merrill. And you give him up to move the runners over? Fuck off.
Yeah, that's a bad decision. That's as simple as that. That was a bad decision. JD's third, thank you, man. He says, Manny is not a good role model for Jackson Merrill. He needs a real leader to learn from. This team is bipolar and dysfunctional. I think Merrill is fine. I don't know what kind of relationship he has with Manny, but I think Merrill is going to be he's fine. I don't think he needs a role model. I think it's Jackson Merrill, and that speaks for itself.
Yeah, fine. He's fine.
I mean, I think Manny, yeah, that whole conversation we've had for 7 years and we'll continue to have, but Manny doesn't need to be a role model for his own clubhouse. He doesn't have to be a role model for Jackson Merrill. Matthew, thank you for the membership and the super chat. It says, Roki is back with the club pumping 100s and 90-plus mile-per-hour sliders. He's going to be closing games for the Dodgers by the end of the week. I hope he is because I saw what he was doing in like AAA. Didn't he allow like 10 runs the other day in AAA? So, I mean, honestly, I hope Roki fills a large role for the Dodgers in the postseason because I don't think he's yet proven that he is like invincible.
Roki who? Say.
Yeah. I mean, give me a break. Has he done anything this year? He's got a 1.5 whip, bud. I mean, he's had no value. Let's be honest. Nick Pivetta has run circles around Roki Suzuki. I mean,
like, I don't know what Roki's going to do in his future. And we said this the second it happened.
100%.
The second they signed Nick Pivetta. We're like, look, Roki might be the better long play here. But in the here and now, the Pivetta move is better. Even though we really wanted Roki. Don't get me wrong. We really wanted that guy. But also, who was going to help you out more in the here and now? We both said, like, that's Nick Pivetta.
And we've been 100% right.
Yeah. It's one of the best signings of the offseason, no doubt about it. He's going to finish top five in Cy Young. He's been fantastic.
And he was fantastic tonight. And the fact that he can go 7 shutout innings and you can lose at home is not great. RH, thank you. He says, thank you, very generous. He says, Manny Machado has a career postseason batting average of .215 in 48 games. 41 hits, 11 homers, 27 RBIs, 22 runs scored. Why expect anything different? I mean, I don't know why there's a reason to expect anything different, but just because he's hit .215 in his career in the postseason doesn't mean he's going to hit .215 this postseason. He could hit .130. He could hit .330. I mean, you're talking about very small sample sizes when you get into any one postseason. So I have no idea what Manny's going to do this postseason. Nothing would surprise me. He'd go 0-12 in a 3-game series. He'd go 5-12 in a 3-game series. So I don't think because Manny hasn't been good in the postseason in his career, Jim, means that he can't have a good series in the postseason, but he's just got to go out and do it.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to change that narrative. It's only up to him. We can sit here and say he needs to be better. Everybody could say he needs to be better. The only person that can do it is Manny, you know? That's it.
Rocket, put in your super chats from earlier. I'm going to get to them on the other side of telling our viewers about our friends over at SeatGeek because they have a terrific offer going on for you right now over at SeatGeek, and that is $20 off your first purchase of $50 or more with our promo code, which is PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP. You heard me right. We've been able to hook you guys up with this offer, $20 off your first purchase of $50 or more with promo code PADSWRAP. Just click the link in the description, download the app, have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. And we do want to thank our friends over at SeatGeek. So tomorrow at Petco on this Thursday evening, a pair of tickets. Would you like to sit in section 323 for $11? Because you can. Would you like to sit in section 219 for $32 with fees? Because you can. Would you like to sit, look at this, in section 117 for $29 with fees? You can do that. You can look at this. You can sit basically first row, not first, but you can sit section 115 for $59. So use the promo code PODSWRAP. Get there this weekend. Padres, Rockies, these are important games. Or take advantage of the offer with any event coming up. Use SeatGeek. Click that link in the description down below. Get $20 off your first order of $50 or more with promo code PODSWRAP.
Yeah, your tickets are fully guaranteed and instantly fulfilled in your account after purchase. All you got to do is use the promo code, as John said, which is PODSWRAP, P-A-D-S-W-R-A-P, for $20 off tickets at SeatGeek for your very first order. Again, that's promo code PODSWRAP, P-A-D-S-W-R-A-P.
This is interesting from Super, or from Rocket, not from Super. But he said earlier, because this is before we were in here, like you said, taking your clutch bat out for a triple-A shortstop is the type of offense that gets a manager fired. Complete managerial malpractice tonight from Shilda. He's presumably talking about O'Hearn for McCoy. Have we not made enough of that potentially?
What, then taking out O'Hearn and putting McCoy in there for defensive purposes?
And then having Bryce Johnson representing the freaking winning run with two outs in the ninth inning?
Well, it wasn't like it was a tie game. I mean, they had the lead when it happened. So in Schilt's mind, he's thinking, I'm trying to preserve this one run lead. And it came to backfire on him.
That's what's no doubt like about tables it. Turn though in a one run game. That's always the
correct
issue.
It backfired him. There's no doubt about it. But I think the thought process going in is like him thinking, like, look, we don't have it again tonight on offense. I have to try to preserve this one run lead. He thought that McCoy was a better option there defensively than Jake Cronenworth. And then getting Ryan O'Hearn out of the lineup to put a rise back at first, like, okay, even though I think defensive metrics show that O'Hearn's a better defensive first baseman than Luis Arise, but I digress.
Doesn't this prove our point? Isn't this the offense-defense conversation that we've spent so much
you
time
went
on?
You went the defensive route, and it burned you in the ass because guess what? You had an opportunity there to drive in the tying run in the ninth inning, and you had to go to your bench and Bryce Johnson when it could have been Ryan O'Hearn, who has struggled. I'll be fair there. He has struggled.
Yeah, he has.
But yeah. Also, who would you rather have at the plate there in that moment, O'Hearn or Bryce Johnson?
Dude, I mean, O'Hearn has had some big moments. He's had some moments. I mean, he's an impactful power bat. I mean, here's the difference between O'Hearn batting there and freaking Bryce Johnson. O'Hearn can win the game there. Like, nobody would have been shocked if O'Hearn, like, ran into a ball. That's fully possible in that spot. That can't happen with Bryce Johnson. You just have a veteran, experienced slugger as opposed to, you know, bench piece. So, like, yeah, I completely agree with you, Rocket. I think it's a very fair point. I think we probably should have spent more time on it, truthfully. And I think it kind of solidifies my argument I've been making obsessively over the last handful of days, which is like, stop choosing defense over offense. You are struggling mightily to scratch anything across the board. You have to go offense first. He followed up by saying, another Super, two men on, no outs in the fourth equals bunt. A man on second with nobody outs, nobody out equals no bunt. That approach doesn't make sense to me. Laureano has been great, so I get that, but so has Merrill. Mm-hmm. So he's taking the earlier situation we talked about, Merrill first and second, nobody out. Why lay down the bunt if you're not willing to do it with Laureano in the ninth inning?
Completely fair. I 100%. Absolutely. It is 100% right to question that move. It's like, well, if you're going to bunt Merrill in the fourth with two on and nobody out, but then you're not going to bunt Laureano, who is another one of your better hitters of late, in the ninth down a run, absolutely completely fair to ask that question and to think that. I would have preferred no bunts from either of them. I don't think we've fully processed, because again, I was doing stuff, I was cooking, I had the game on, but you were doing stuff as well. Like so I didn't have enough time to fully process that moment. And then the moment passed and I'm focusing on the rest of the game. But the more I talk about it and then seeing it, I'm like, holy shit. He actually called for Jackson Merrill to lay down a sack bunt in the fourth inning with two on and nobody out of a scoreless game.
So he did that, which we can call egregious. I agree. He played for defense up a run too early, ultimately, in the game. And that came back to bite them with two outs in the tying run 90 feet away.
Yeah.
That's not a good night at the office for Mike Schilt.
Nope. That's a bad night.
And if that happens in the postseason, that's tough to get over.
Well, that's where you're, that's what you're like worried about, is that Schilt's going to get too tight and make these moves and it's going to backfire on him.
I agree. You know, and then I heard him post game. I mean, here's the other issue with post game. And listen, I'm not saying I would have done it better. I'm not down there every night. He's not even asked about the things that we're referencing tonight. Think about that. Unless I missed it and I watched post game, he wasn't asked about Merrill Bunning, or was he, Jim? Because there was something about he had a tough at bat and it was uncomfortable. I think he was trying to cover for Merrill, maybe. Like, oh, he had a tough at bat, man. That's why we
went
to
bunt. I think he was going with it.
Yeah, that's where I think he was going. So he actually might have been asked about that, but he was not asked about the defensive replacement. He would have been so defensive, no pun intended, if that was brought up tonight.
Instead, you got fucking Barry Bloom saying things like, well, the Reds are like a really sneaky good team, right?
He's like, yeah.
Like, as I said, Barry, probably time to do something else.
Barry asked him pregame today if this bullpen is one of the best, like rank this bullpen in the history of the Padres franchise in terms of their bullpens, as if Mike Schilt has some freaking encyclopedia on the history of the Padres dating back to 1969.
Oh man, it's funny. I'm like, it's like, hey, can you tell us about Mason Miller and how he compares to Dennis Eckersley, please?
It made no sense. Like, none. Oh, sorry. Pull up a jab. Dude, welcome to the wrap-up show.
And yet you listen. So what does that say about you?
Dude.
If you think I'm whiny, I'm just going, all right.
This is not whiny for Jim.
No. Sorry, you can't handle, like, actual, I guess, truth. My bad.
JD's third says, Roki is league minimum, zero risk, high reward. I agree with that. No, yeah. I agree with that. I'm not going to disagree with that.
Yep. Right.
But in terms of what the Padres needed for 2025 to capitalize or reach a ceiling, I don't know if it would have worked for 2025 or not. I don't know. And I don't know if Pivetta is going to help them reach that ceiling or not. I mean, he's going to help them reach that ceiling.
And they probably,
I don't disagree.
Like they, I don't know if they could have, but if Roki decided to come to San Diego, I think they probably would have signed Pivetta anyway.
They would have needed to, or imagine where they would have been this year, man. No Pivetta, no Sasaki all year.
Oh.
I mean, they would have been sideways, truthfully. They would have been sideways. The Pivetta signing was massive for this team to reach the postseason. They don't do it without him. JD's third, thank you, man. He says, does Schilty watch the games we do? He's usually fine in game. He's had this obsession over the last month, Jim, with the bunting and the small ball, like he's trying to put himself in a position where this is what I need to do in the postseason. So let's go execute it at a high level. Now, I promise you, that's what he's thinking. He's like, we're going to be in these tight games and we're going to need to move runners. We're going to need to scratch across a run or two, and we're going to need to protect leads. And I really think he's managing like it's game seven of the World Series, which is something that he says sometimes, but like, bro, you're playing the Twins. You're like, it's the first inning against a guy with, like, if they bunt tomorrow against that 13 ERA guy, then like you got problems. Like you're playing the Rockies, swing away, play for freaking high risk, high reward. Like,
yeah, I know.
Come on.
I know.
Live a little.
Yeah. Yeah. If I see if it's a scoreless game in like the fourth inning tomorrow and they like are laying down sack bunts to move guys over, it's the fucking Rockies. Like, what are we doing?
I mean, that would be insane if they're giving up any out against the Colorado Rockies, almost in any circumstance. There's probably a circumstance you could do it, but it's almost insane to think about.
Insane.
Completely insane. Okay, do you want to remind our viewers about this great offer going on right now with our friends at Underdog Fantasy, the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Use our promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. You're going to get $50 in bonus funds by playing just $5 with our promo code by clicking the link in the description down below. You're also going to get a 50% deposit match up to $1,000 and a free gimme pick. A free gimme pick is like higher or lower than a half total passing yard for Jalen Hurts this weekend, or higher or lower than a half total plate appearance for Manny Machado tomorrow against the Colorado Rockies. So they're giving you a pick'em, you pair it with another pick'em winner, and all of a sudden you have won, and you can win big, up to 5,000 times your money in a single night. So use the promo code PADSWRAP, PADSWRAP, get $50 for playing $5, get the 50% deposit match, and get the free gimme pick with our promo code PADSWRAP.
Promo code, or scan the QR code there to download the Underdog Fantasy app. It'll take you to the App Store. Once you download Underdog Fantasy, use the promo code PODSWRAP to sign up and play today. John talks baseball. You just won. I can't make that up. I like what John talks about and how he covers Padres baseball. Sorry, guys. Learn a lesson.
This is my burner, by the way.
Did you type that in?
I just created an account during the show.
You're right. I don't know anything about baseball. I didn't talk any X's and O's tonight. I didn't talk about anything in the game. I just bitch and complain and get upset when they lose and blah, 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 blah. Or is that you that's upset that you can't handle like negativity towards your favorite baseball team? What, I don't know what it is.
By the way, is the guy tomorrow from Jen? Thank you, Jen, for being here. Is it a righty or a lefty, the guy with the 13 ERA?
It's a righty.
Good. Even better.
Yeah, was that Darnay's burner?
This is Darnay, dude.
Darnay.
Honestly, this is probably Schilt. Although I don't think Schilt likes to do it. That's the way.
I do know there are people inside that Padres organization that do listen to this show.
I know that as well.
Yeah.
And their names rhyme with Tanny Mulatto. No, I'm kidding. I doubt Manny Machado is coming. He's finishing his night with a freaking cold one watching the wrap-up show. But you never know, man. You never know. All right. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a deep breath, and we're going to do it all over again tomorrow.
Woosah. Woosah. Okay. Everybody do a woosah. Woosah.
Do you want to?
Woosah. Do a woosah.
What do I do?
You don't know what a woosah is?
What is it?
Oh, that's right. You've never seen Bad Boys. Oh, my
gosh. I've never seen anything.
All right. Take your hands. Okay. I want you to grab your earlobes, and I want you to, like, massage your earlobes, and I want you to say, woosah.
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 See?
Now what?
Now you're relaxed.
No, I want to be miserable again. That sucks.
Okay, me too.
we have to all share in the pain together. So join us tomorrow on John and Jim, San Diego Sports 760, 2 p.m. We'll get you ready for game one of the Padres and the Rockies. And then, of course, tomorrow night on the wrap-up show, we'll see if the Padres can find their way back into this division race or not. Beginning tomorrow, one thing we know is the Dodgers don't play tomorrow, right?
Correct.
Okay, so it's a half-game swing tomorrow, depending on result for the time being. A win, yeah. Half-game closer, a loss, half-game. I mean, a loss and kiss everything goodbye. What are you laughing at?
Look at Johnny's chat.
Johnny?
Johnny Pistolero.
I would pull it up, but that's funny. Man.
That's a good one. That's good.
What a day. All right. If you haven't subscribed to the channel, man, I mean, we're here too much. So seriously, if you haven't subscribed to the channel, please do that for us. Smash the like button for us. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. Thank you for the super thanks. If you are here on replay, we appreciate you. And then support our partners, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance, and our friends at Lucky Box and Humboldt Casino and SeatGeek and Underdog Fantasy. Let's do it all over again tomorrow, 2 p.m., John and Jim. And then tomorrow night on the wrap-up show, Padres fall to the Reds. They lose the series. They lose tonight 2-1. And for Jim, I'm John. This has been the wrap-up show. Appreciate you guys.